What's up, everyone? I am Brittany, and welcome to One Hot Mess. All right, guys, we are going to continue reading The Inner Work. We are on chapter 9, which is Transcending Limiting Themes of Consciousness. Now, this is a super, super long chapter, so it will probably be, we're going to break it down into two parts, I'm sure. But anyway, we're going to get started. Okay, the following chapters have been prepared for you to use as a practical how-to guide throughout your inner work journey. Each theme will be outlined to show common triggers, root programs, overall view of life, and how to transcend them. Use yourself and build awareness of where you find yourself getting stuck. When exploring the limiting themes of consciousness, it's important to note that they represent layers of resistance to accepting our true nature of unconditional love. They represent who we are not. We are already and always loved and innocent. It is only the limiting themes of consciousness that blind us from this truth, like clouds blocking the sun. Although the themes of consciousness are a progression, there will be certain ones that you find your ego is more attached to than others based on its conditioning. You'll also notice that there are certain themes you are at peace with already. It is possible for you to spend most of your time in a liberating theme, such as courage or willingness, but periodically still struggle with a limiting theme that is unhealed, such as anger or shame. You may also find that you will experience different themes in different areas of your life. For example, pride in your career, but fear when it comes to relationships and trusting love. It is important to clarify that experiencing the limiting themes of consciousness from time to time is a natural part of being human, and all have a time and place in our journey. What brings suffering is when we get stuck in them through attachment and accidentally identify with them as who we think we are. Be compassionate with yourself regarding anything you may discover, and remember that the ego is not personal and has been attaching itself to limitations innocently without knowing any better. You are not your ego's attachments and resistances. We are all in this together. You can do this. Shame. Triggers, rejection, root program, I am unlovable, transcendence, I am innocent. The most extreme of the mind's destructive beliefs is the delusion of shame. Shame stems from the lie that we are rejected, invalid, and beyond the graces of love and forgiveness. It believes itself to be unlovable, unwanted, a waste, and destined for an existence of suffering. Shame represents the complete opposite of the truth and is the ultimate forgetfulness of who we truly are. It can range from mild embarrassment, repression of our sexuality, racism, prejudice, all the way to feeling like the epitome of evil and cursed and rejected by divinity. The mind's story of shame is most likely stemming from a past experience of being rejected, abused, or neglected to some degree by a supposed loving figure, usually parents, society, or religion. Our innocent mind then believes itself to not be worthy of love and should be embarrassed and ashamed of itself or a particular aspect of the human condition that is being rejected. In its mild form, shame is taught to us by parents, friends, or society by telling us what we're allowed to be or not be. It is modeled through mocking our skin color, hairstyle, dress, or appearance, unique gifts, personality traits, etc. To our impressionable mind, this teaches us that our innocent self should be different from what it is, thus making us feel ashamed for being ourselves. Racism and all forms of discrimination are rooted in shame. Anyone who has suffered the trauma of direct or systematic racism will unfortunately have wounds in this theme. In religion, shame may come from being taught to fear a god or divinity that can reject, curse, and damn us to a fiery hell of torture. The misunderstanding that this causes is to believe that even an all-loving God could reject us, thus creating an overwhelming feeling of worthlessness. However, nothing could be further from the truth. Divinity's love is unconditional and always available. It is only the ego's rejection of this unconditional love that entraps and limits us and spreads the message of a rejecting divinity. Through an experience of rejection, the ego becomes attached to the belief of worthlessness and identifies with it, and then proceeds to push away anything that is loving and promoting innocence. Shame, when taking to its extreme, drives all grotesque experiences of life. Suicide, murder, genocide, rape, hate crimes, torture, etc. In a twisted form of narcissism, the ego of shame tests divine love by becoming completely vile in order to see if it will still be lovable. Thus, shame represents the ego's desperation and cry for love by ironically trying to prove how unloved it is. Since shame is actually the epitome of the ego's narcissism, it is possible to outwardly appear charismatic, charming, or perfect, while secretly holding incredibly dark, selfish thoughts and hidden behavior. The revealing feature of such presentations is that shame cannot handle having its impulses blocked and will resort to extreme self-deprecating behavior such as hurting itself or others as an expression of thinking God or life is cursing it. It will reject all accountability and believes that any of its hurtful and unloving impulses should be loved and allowed without consequences. Because this is the theme of complete spiritual delusion, the most painful consequences stem from attachment to shame. Shame tends to get itself rejected due to shameful choices. This creates a validation cycle of self-rejection and rejection from others. It is important to address any layers of shame we may be holding on to, no matter how insignificant we may feel that shame is, because the energy of shame is like a festering wound which slowly decays the soul if left unhealed. Triggers. Shame will be triggered by anything traumatic, abusive, humiliating, or degrading. It is the theme of extreme trauma and the darkest of human experiences. While not all of us may struggle with its extreme expressions, we may experience shame subtly in our subconscious, usually in the expression of embarrassment or any form of self-rejection, such as not liking our body. Accompanying thoughts may sound like, I am not good enough, God or life cursed me, I'm so stupid, I'm incapable, I'm worthless, no one loves me, everyone rejects me, I'm pathetic, I'm awful, I'm disgusting, I shouldn't have been born, I shouldn't be this way, I am so sick, I am demented, I am lost. If projected externally, the same thoughts will arise as, they are so disgusting, ugly, worthless, and so on. Transcendent, due to the traumatic experiences shame is usually spawned from, it can be extremely difficult to talk about or face. Thus, out of defense, the mind denies, buries, and represses incidences of shame, ultimately rejecting reality. This is due to internalizing trauma or rejection rather than seeing it as a projection of the other person's theme of consciousness, the shame we inherited from others is not personal nor true. The inheritance of shame is only ignorance begetting ignorance, hurt people hurting people. And because it is ignorance that creates shame, everyone involved is actually innocent. This does not mean an abuser's actions weren't a violation and need to be held accountable. It's a reminder that any trauma can only come from a traumatized source. To let go of the story of shame and heal from its abuse, we have to replace it with compassionate understanding for ourselves and others. Those who rejected, traumatized, abused, or hurt us are only projecting their own rejections, traumas, abuse, or hurt. Our impressionable mind then made these painful projections about us, but it was never about us. We were and always are innocent. Shame subconsciously repeats cycles of abuse that were handed down to it. Thus, abused people tend to abuse others. To heal, our traumas need to be put in our past as something that does not negatively define us. If we don't, similar scenarios as the original trauma will trigger the mind to think the trauma is still happening now, thus stilling our present as well. There needs to be a clear separation between what happened in the past and our new experiences. Otherwise, we carry the trauma with us forever. Our innocence is still there, and we can never be taken, only temporarily hidden due to misidentification with the trauma of an experience. It's important to acknowledge this cycle so as not to go another day internalizing the shame others projected onto us. We have to give it back, in a sense, see the pain of the other person clearly. They have been rejected, abused, traumatized, or hurt, and tried to pass it on to us, but we don't have to accept it. Therefore, we are the greatest teacher and mirror, only reflecting what is being rejected within themselves. We are infinitely and unconditionally loved, even if those around us didn't know how to properly express it and ended up hurting us traumatically instead. To escape shame, the mind needs to cast blame onto its perpetrators in order to stop identifying with the energy of the experience. And while this can temporarily move us out of self-sabotage and into the next theme of guilt and judgment, it is not the final solution. Whatever shame we have felt due to others' projections, know that they were living with that shame themselves, probably even worse. They are not getting away with anything. Our ultimate healing will eventually come through forgiving all those who wronged us in the past, therefore setting ourselves free. This will naturally arise later in our journey, for when we hold a grudge, we remain trapped in the cycles of shame, even if it is seeing them with shame. In a sense, to remember our own innocence, we have to also remember theirs. For as we do unto others, we do unto ourselves. While this may seem impossible at the moment, the freedom that comes through forgiving ourselves and others will naturally reveal itself as we move up through the themes of consciousness. We can release shame by helping and supporting others who have had similar experiences. The greatest healers are ones who have endured suffering and turned their own traumatic experiences into wisdom for others' healings. Heal people, heal people. New narrative. I am innocent. I am always loved. I can never be beyond divinity's love. I am pure. I am perfect as I am. I am always worthy of forgiveness and true love. I am whole and complete exactly as I am. I am loved even in my weakest moments. Others' opinions of me have nothing to do with me but are a reflection of themselves. While my actions may have painful consequences, my soul was always innocent while learning. Anyone projecting shame is living with their own shame. I give this shame back to its sender. It's healthy for me to identify my abusers. I let go of the shame projected onto me. I love myself. I am divinely beautiful. I am loved as I am, even with the traumatic experiences I have endured. My trauma does not negatively define me. I am accepted. Others want to love me. Others want to support me. Others want to see me happy. I matter to others. My existence matters. My life matters. My needs matter. My voice matters. I will not allow abuse any longer. I will speak my truth. I will accept my worth. Okay, so next we have guilt and judgment, triggers, perceived mistakes, root program, I am wrong, others are wrong, transcendence, replace judgment with consequence. In order to move out of shame, we must see that its distortion was projected onto us. Thus, the mind has to give the shame back to its sender, which leads to judgment. The result of judgment, however, is guilt, which is why they go hand in hand. The main difference between shame and guilt is that shame is about rejecting our fundamental sense of self as unlovable, while guilt and judgment are preoccupied with choices and punishment of wrongness. While this theme of consciousness is still limiting, it is nevertheless a progression and empowerment out of self-rejection and victimization of shame that rejects accountability and consequences. Healthy expressions of guilt cause us to learn from our mistakes so as not to repeat them. However, when it becomes an obsession of the mind, it is destructive, cruel, and harsh. The limiting beliefs of judgment and guilt do not allow joy into their lives because the standards for reaching or maintaining perfection are impossible and unrealistic. Guilt is a self-imposed mental and spiritual torture in which we hold ourselves and others accountable to impossible standards. It pours salt in the wound and holds a crushing weight over us. Guilt doesn't let the past go, holds a grudge, and is unable to forgive itself or others. It clings to the flawed rationalization that we all should be perfect or should know better. Any perception of a mistake is unacceptable. Guilt is obsessed with should and should not, right and wrong, good and bad. All of these are defense mechanisms of the ego that it uses to protect itself from either being hurt again, accidentally becoming the new source of its pain. The root program belief behind all guilt stems from misunderstanding the difference between judgment and consequence. Judgment is partial, biased, and can only come from a limited perspective. Meanwhile, consequence is impartial, unconditional, and simply a natural, unbiased repercussion of making choices. Judgment has been used as a force of manipulation for eons through creating gods of judgment that we have to please, plead with, and seek forgiveness from or else. All of it is a projection of our own ego's minds, fears, and fantasies of self-rejection. None of it is actually happening except in our own mind. Guilt creates its own demons to fear judgment from and then projects them as coming from outside itself, especially in the form of religious misunderstandings of God. Somewhere in our lives, this belief of judgment and therefore guilt was inherited through the form of intimidation as a way of making us afraid of any sense of error. For example, being beaten, hurt, or threatened as punishment for doing something wrong. Intellectually, it manifests as fear of being seen as stupid or less than for making mistakes. While the intentions of parents, teachers, or religions may have been loving and innocent, unfortunately the concept of judgment is flawed from the beginning and will only bring suffering. For judgment itself is another ego delusion, just like the shame and guilt it propagates, triggers. Due to the ego's mind obsession with wrongness, all triggers associated with guilt will have to do with perceived mistakes. The ego may also overcompensate through obsession with being perfect in order to avoid or hide guilt. Its standards for everyday life will become impossible and unrealistic. No one will ever meet them. It will be brutal in its judgments of itself, others, and any perceived errors it projects onto, even judging the weather for what it should or shouldn't be. Accompanying thoughts will be overly critical and unforgiving. Examples may sound like, I should have known better. They should have known better. This is wrong. You are wrong. This is unacceptable. I deserve to be punished. I, they, or this is wrong for being this way. This is unforgivable. They should be punished. I hate hypocrisy. There needs to be justice. This is so unjust. Transcendence. The only way out of guilt is to surrender and admit that, as humans, we are not capable of making accurate judgments. The limited human mind has no idea why things are the way they are. It cannot grasp the infinite details of the universe and the eternal scale of existence, and so must give up thinking it is capable of judging anything appropriately. Humility is the ultimate healer for this theme by surrendering the role of playing the judge. Humility arises from accepting that we can't hold ourselves accountable for something we literally did not know at the time of our choice. Just because we understand the repercussions of our choices now does not mean we understood them accurately at the time of the choice. We are not capable of knowing the future and the infinite details of every choice we make. Lastly, even if we knew the wiser choice in the moment, we may have still lacked the strength and conviction to actually choose the higher choice. Thus, we are always doing the best we can with what we are capable of doing at the time. Luckily, divine love's compassion is unconditional. In a universe that is all connected and an extension of the same source, we are all the same one, and therefore to judge anything or anyone is to only judge ourselves. There is no judgment necessary in a universe that is innately perfect, balanced, and always harmonious. Consequence is eternally unfolding in every moment. It is our limited point of view that creates judgment and perceives wrongness or lack. Judgment is a perfect example of the mind creating enemies that don't actually exist. The spiritual truth that judgment impersonates is actually consequence. Consequence just is. It is the natural repercussion of any choice or action. It doesn't require judgment. It is impartial and unbiased, like gravity. Therefore, to make destructive choices is to attract to oneself destructive consequences. This is what all spiritual teachings are trying to convey. All choices have consequences, not judgment. Ironically, the consequence of judging another is to be subject to the torment of our own judgments. To project negatively onto others is to only attract the negativity onto ourselves. To believe in enemies is to make enemies. To condemn others is to condemn ourselves. The most empowered choice, then, is to do our own inner work and take accountability for our own choices and stop worrying about others' actions. Let them work out their own destiny. The unconditional, infinite love of life responds to our own choices, and we are all eternally free to choose for ourselves. Thus, if we resist love, we suffer. If we accept love, we enjoy. All guilt can be washed away in an instant if we could only accept our innocence and humility as humans. We are completely loved even as we make mistakes, which is so simple, it is hard for the ego mind to accept. Instead, the mind fantasizes that in order to heal our guilt, we must be punished or make some sort of sacrifice in order to be forgiven. This is not the absolute truth, but only a projection of how guilt views reality. For a more liberated, loving perspective, we do not need to earn forgiveness or love back. We are innately loved and forgiven in every moment. We just need to stop resisting it. Okay. We can let go of any guilt by inviting a higher perspective of humility for our limitations. We are always doing the best we can with what we know and need, not hold judgment over ourselves any longer. Focus solely on the present, what you can learn from your choices, and let the past go. Through consequence, we are deciding our new life trajectory in every moment. And even as we make mistakes, we are always learning and recreating anew. Now is the only moment that actually exists. The past is not who we are anymore. We do not have to continue to drag it with us. New narrative. I guess I just didn't know any better at the time. Seemed like a good idea at the time. I am always in the process of becoming. I'm doing the best I can right now. Others are always doing the best they can. I don't know someone else's story. I don't know the battles other people are facing. I don't know how deep this goes. I don't know the eternal scale of the situation. Everyone is doing the best they can with what they know. I grow through my mistakes. I am loved even as I make mistakes. I forgive myself and others. I am not my mistakes. I let go of grudges. I am perfect, whole, and complete, even with my perceived mistakes. Mistakes are part of the learning process. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay for others to make mistakes. All right, guys, next time we will get back into chapter 9 and be talking about hopelessness and grief. Okay, everyone. Unfortunately, that's all I got for you for today. Thank you so much for listening. I truly do appreciate it. Please make sure to hit the follow button. And I'll talk to you guys next time. Have an amazing day.